All right, take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Matthew, the 13th chapter. Matthew chapter 13 in your Scofield Bible, page 1017. 1017. We'll start with verse 36, and we'll read responsively through verse 44. Okay, shall we stand, please? Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And then let's read together the text verse, verse 44. Ready? Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto the treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. And let's pray. And Father, what a delightful thing it is to be able to pick up a copy of thy word, that which you've preserved through these centuries, and to be able to read it together as a part of thy family. And then what a privilege is ours to hear it preached by a man you've sent to us to preach thy precious word. We pray that you'd open our ears and our hearts to the man of God and help us today, O Spirit. Please, in Jesus' name, amen.
I want you to listen to me very carefully. I'm going to tell you this morning the main cause for divorce in our country. Not the only cause, but the main cause. I'm going to tell you the main cause for church splits and church troubles in our country. I'm going to tell you the main cause for broken friendships in our country. In our church, in our land, in your family. I'm going to tell you this morning why sometimes even families have strained relationships. I want you to listen to me. I have no desire to preach a great sermon. I have a tremendous desire to help you. And I know this morning, as I speak on the subject, the treasure is in a field. The treasure is in a field. I want to read for you my text verse. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field. Notice the two words hid. You got to find it. You got to look for it. And then it's in a field. You got to go to a field and look for the treasure. It says he hid in a field which a man hath found. He hideth, and for joy thereof goeth, and selleth all that he hath, look at me, and buyeth that field. Now, please, let me have your attention. I ask you not to take notes. Put up your pens and your paper, and listen to me as I speak to you on, and I promise you, I can help your marriage. I can help your relationship with your friends. And I'm going to ask you, do not walk out while I'm preaching. I'm just going to ask you to be still. And do not walk out, do not walk around, and point right this way. I speak this morning a very important message entitled, The Treasure is in a Field. Our Heavenly Father, if I could, I'd preach the sermon I'm going to preach to everybody in the world. Not that it's a good sermon. It probably won't be a good sermon. I dead sure don't claim to be a great preacher. But I believe this morning I have a truth to present that the entire world needs to hear. I wish I had a shot at them. But I do have a shot at these people, several thousand of us here this morning. I pray you'd help them to listen. I cannot help them if they do not listen, or if I do not listen to you. And I promise if you'll help me, I'll try to help them. I'll listen to you. Give me their attention, please. Amen. Listen very, very carefully. Here is a treasure, Bible says, found in a field. A man searches and he finds that treasure. And then he says there must be more treasure in that field somewhere. If I have found this treasure in this field, there no doubt must be more treasure. The Bible says he goes and sells all that he has and he buys that field. Look right this way. So he buys it. Now suddenly he finds out some things. He finds out what he's bought. He's bought some weeds. He's bought some rocks. He's bought some spiders. Now bear in mind, there's a treasure down there somewhere in that field. But he bought some spiders. He bought some ants. No doubt some mice. Maybe some rats. Maybe a skunk or a raccoon or a possum. He bought all of these things. He bought perhaps some garbage that was thrown there on that field. Or a dead tree. Or maybe some poison ivy. He bought some lizards there on that field. Now, all he did was to be bought all of that because he wanted the treasure. Are you listening to me? He wanted the treasure. Now, let's suppose that a man starts to dig and seek his treasure. All of a sudden, he's bought this field. All of a sudden, he sees a lizard scampering across the field. And then maybe he discovers some poison ivy there in the field. He owns this now. He bought the field. Or maybe he smells the scent of a skunk in the field. Or maybe he sees a pile of garbage that somebody's deposited there. Or maybe a mouse scurries by. That's when I'm getting out of the field. Or maybe a mouse scurries by. So what does he do? Disgustedly, he forsakes the treasure because he sees the negative. Are you with me? He forsakes the treasure because he sees the negative. And he goes over to another field, maybe, where there may be no treasure. But he's going to find out, please take that baby out. Wherever it is, immediately take that baby out. Immediately. Somebody help the lady over here. Help her take the baby out right now. But all the babies must be out of the service. This is very, very vital. Quickly, ma'am. Let's bow our heads. We'll not embarrass her, please. I don't want to embarrass her. Every head bowed, every eye closed. It's a rule here that all the babies must be in the nursery. Quickly, please. Every eye closed. Now, our Heavenly Father, if I didn't think this sermon was important, I wouldn't do what I just did. But I think it's one of the most important things in the whole world this morning. I pray you'd bless me as I speak, please. Amen. Right this way now and follow me. The fellow buys the field. He sees some nettles, maybe, or maybe some poison ivy. Maybe he sees a serpent wiggling. That's when I'm leaving, when I see a serpent. And not coming back either. Hang the treasure. But he sees a few weeds or some rocks. And so he leaves the field. Disgustedly, he forsakes the field for another. Now, the reason he did this, he's not willing to accept the negatives in order to get the treasure. In this scenario, we see many, if not most of us. Let me illustrate. We're not willing to take what we don't want to get what we do want. But the treasure's in the field. The treasure's not in a museum. The treasure's in the field. The treasure's not in the bank. The treasure is in the field. Now, to get to that treasure, you may get stung by a few wasps. Or you may have to smell the odor of a skunk. Or you may have to run from a raccoon, the fear of a raccoon. Or you may have to stumble over some garbage. But we're not willing to accept the negative in order to get the treasure. Now let me illustrate. We find a friend. What a treasure. We're enraptured with that friend. He appears to be nearly faultless. And all of a sudden we see a few weeds in his life. We see a few negatives. Are you listening? We see a few negatives in his life. And so we turn away from the treasure. And by the way, all friends have weeds. All friends have fields. And so we, at first, from a distance, we get your big feet out of the way. Next time, in my next life, when I hire a music director, I'm going to check the size of his shoes before I hire him. I don't stumble over my weaker brother. I stumble over the big feet of my weaker music director. But now if we can get the babies out of here and the feet pull back there, we'll get this service started. I said, all friends have fields. All friends have negatives. But what you do, and what we often do, is we see someone who we're enraptured, and we like them, and we're intrigued by them, and so we start a friendship. But I don't care who you are, when you get closer to them, you're going to see a few warts. And all of a sudden, we see that friend is not perfect. So we're looking for the treasure in that field and find the little mouse scurrying across the field, or feel a little burn from a nettle, or something, and there's some poison ivy. And so then we break up with our friend and get mad at our friend. And in some cases, won't speak with our friend. And then we'll seek a new friend. And we'll like him until we find out that he has a field also. And then we'll seek a new friend. And we'll like him and be intrigued with him to find out that he too has a few mice in his field and a few weeds in his field. And some garbage is in his field. And so we seek another friend. But ladies and gentlemen, we're human. And all of us have fields. And all of us have negatives. But what we do, we go and chatty with somebody, and we make good friends, become a good friendship with them, till we see that they're imperfect. Oh, by the way, you better pray they don't get too close to you either. Because you have a field too. And you who have fields and rats and mice and nettles and weeds, don't you be too hard on somebody else when you find a little lizard scurrying across their field. We find a church. What a treasure. Remember the first time you came to this church and saw the invitation? Remember the first time you came here and invitation came and you're used to standing there and singing 14 stanzas of Just As I Am Without One Plea? And one old man, 90 years of age, surrenders to the foreign mission field. One little child, 6 months old, gets saved. The blind man gives up movies, and a crippled man gives up dancing. Remember that? And a deaf man gives up his rock music. Remember that? And then you came to First Baptist Church of Hammond, and you saw these aisles filled and these altars filled, and you said, boy, this is what I've been looking for. But I got some news for you. We have a field here too. We're human just like everybody else. Listen to me now. So what happens? We see a few weeds. We look at the altar. We look at the zeal. We look at the baptistry and the baptisms. And we look at the positive. And then after a while, we see a few weeds. And maybe a little mice scurrying across the field somewhere. Or maybe some garbage in somebody's life. And so what do? We won't take the field with the treasure. But ladies and gentlemen, there is no treasure without the field. There's none. And so this fellow, he said, I found a treasure. There's treasure, other treasure in this field. I'm going to buy the field. I'll put up with the scurrying mice. I'll put up with the crawling lizard. I'll put up with the obnoxious odor of the skunk. I'll put up with a little garbage here because there's treasure here. And ladies and gentlemen, there's treasure in the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. But I've got news for you. There's a field here also. Most of us are human. All of us are human, including this man right here. And by the way, I have a field too. You're the only person in this whole building that said, yep. I'm sure you can find employment somewhere else. Yep, yep. Now, so what happens? One disagreement. My child is mistreated one time at the school. There's one thing said in the sermon I don't agree with. I believe in Christmas trees, but I don't believe in having a little decorations on the Christmas tree.
Or I believe in Christmas trees and decorations, but don't believe you ought to paint the little decoration on the tree. And some little something that you don't agree with, and what you do, you'll leave the whole treasure just because you find a mouse in the field. But the Bible said this man had more sense than you do. This man said, I found a treasure. There's bound to be other treasure here, and I'm willing to put up with the nettles, and I'm willing to put up with the weeds and the garbage, and I'm willing to put up with a lizard here or there, or a snake here or there, or a crawling lizard across the field, or maybe a raccoon or a possum. I'm willing to put up with that because there's treasure here. And ladies and gentlemen, any treasure that you find in any human being, there's going to be a field there. One mistreatment. People all over the world envy your treasure. We have discovered that the church is composed of all things human beings. I know of college students. You're back home somewhere and you heard of First Baptist Church of Hammond. Your pastor quoted me in his sermons, or maybe even preached my sermons. And he quoted me. And you thought that Dr. Jack Hiles was the second coming of John the Baptist. Now you think he's the second coming of Judas Iscariot. But boy, you thought, man alive, wouldn't I love to hear Dr. Jack Hiles every Sunday? Wow, that great First Baptist, and you came to pastor school. And all you saw at pastor school were the treasures. We didn't put any weeds out during pastor school. We locked the mice up in the kitchen in pastor school. I mean, you didn't see any lizards, and we don't do that. We just show the jewels in pastor school. And you said, boy, if I can just get to that church, it'll be the millennium. No, it won't. It'll be heaven. But anyway, it'll be the millennium. And boy, I've got to get there. And you came here, and the first Sunday you were here, you saw the folks walk down the aisle, and you said, glory to God, I'm finally here. I don't have to pray anymore because that church will keep me spiritual. I don't have to read my Bible anymore. That church will keep me spiritual. And then you found out that some of the staff members have fields. You found out that Bob O'Clair doesn't know when to say yep. You find that Johnny Colson sleeps during the sermon. Sometimes while he's praying, he goes to sleep. And you found some weeds. You found that Brother Hiles is stubborn. Shut up in the choir. You found that Brother Hiles is stubborn. And you find that I'm human too. And you find I have weaknesses too. And what do? Before you know it, you get upset because you see a weed or two or a little mouse or two, and you leave the greatest soul-winning church since Jerusalem. Now, I'm not trying to keep anybody here, and we haven't had anybody for it. We let it out two members last month, and they're both out of state. But I'm not trying to keep anybody. I'm not trying to keep you. I'm trying for you to keep coming to the greatest soul-winning church in the history of this world. And I'm trying to say, ladies and gentlemen, we're not perfect. We have a field. We have weeds. Somebody's thrown some garbage here. You're going to find weaknesses. You're going to find a sin or two in all of our lives. But I want to say this. Don't discard the field or the treasure because you find out we have a field. There are weeds here. There are nettles here. There are rats here. There are snakes here. There are rocks here. There are skunks here. We even have been men in our choir that go to Chi Chi's restaurant. Mrs. Howes and I went out to eat Friday night. We went to this new jalapeno out here restaurant. We looked for the coat soles and didn't find them there. We were so disappointed. They were back at Cheech's again, I guess. But I'm trying to say, ladies and gentlemen, you're looking at a fella in a church. You're looking at a college, at schools here that are sincere and no doubt the greatest you'll ever find. You know, but we have weeds. And we have negatives. So I'm saying, wherever you go to church, if it's a good old-fashioned, soul-winning, fundamental King James Bible, New Testament, Independent Baptist Church, you're going to find some weeds there. But for the sake of your family and for your own sake and for the sake of the cause of the gospel of Christ, Don't leave the treasure because you find out the treasure's in a field.
We come to a school. Boy, I've heard of Hiles Anderson College. 3,000 perfect people. That's not one of them back there. But, boy, oh boy, Hiles Anderson College. I've heard about that college. Good night, that President Wendell Evans and that Vice President Jack Scott and that Executive Vice President Ray Young and the Administrative Vice President Daryl Moore. And by all means, that good-looking Chancellor. I mean, thank you both. Now, yeah. Boy, I can't wait till I get to Hiles Anderson College. And you come to Hiles Anderson College and you find that Bob O'Clair has a field and Jack Howells has a field and Wendell Evans has a field and Jack Scott has a whole ranch. And all of a sudden you see a little mouse scurrying across the campus. All of a sudden you see a weed or two in our lives. All of a sudden you see some students that get expelled. Or maybe some faculty member that goes into sin. I don't say falls into sin, goes into sin. And all of a sudden you see human tendencies. And you see tendencies that folks out there are covered with flesh. And before you know it, you leave the greatest college on the face of the earth and give up the treasure because you find the treasures in a field. But all the treasures are in a field. One possum runs across your path. One little disagreement, we leave the treasure. But you can't have a great school without a field. The treasure is in the field. You found a girl. One fellow's happy about it. You found a girl. Boy, she was pretty. And you said, man, that, here's what you guys always do. Oh, it is the will of God for my life. Oh, shut up. It's the will of Joe. It's your will for your life. You know that. So you court her. And by the way, while you're courting her, you don't see one single weed. And then you marry her and you find not one bit of fertilizer has been in her yard. She hasn't got a blade of grass. It's all weeds. And so, what happens? You marry this perfect girl. And then you find out that she has a field. And you see a little mouse scurrying across the field or see a little garbage there in the field. And then you decide that you don't want the treasure after all. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not a woman in this world that doesn't have a field. And by the way, somewhere there's treasure there. And you may have to look awful hard to find it. Did you know? You look at Mrs. Hiles. She's a great woman, but I've got to tell you something about her. She never screws a lid on a bottle. Never. I have shaken more ketchup bottles and put ketchup on the ceiling than any man in the whole wide world. When she dies, I'm going to leave her coffin lid open just a little bit. But man, let me tell you something. You think I'm going to bypass that because the dumb lid's not screwed on tight? That's what you do. Some of you folks right now, your marriages are having problems. And the reason is, you found out that you're married and somebody has a field. Well, bless God, they all have fields. And if you get the treasure, you're going to have to put up with the field. I'm standing here trying to talk about the fields of men and their weaknesses. I'm trying to find something about me. So, what do? You divorce the gal. And then you come up to this other gal and you see a little sparkle treasure in her. But then you get married to her and find she has a field. Instead of mice, she has rats. Instead of lizards, she has snakes.
instead of weeds, she has nettle rash. Poison ivy. Not nettle. Or nettle rash. Nettles. Anyhow, she has something. And so, what do? You find that she has a field. Now, listen to me carefully. I don't care who you are. If you've got any sense in this world, you're going to put up with the field to get the treasure. And most of you are married to good women. And most of you have women that love God. They love this book. They love you. They love their children. But they're not perfect. They have a field and they have weeds and they got some possums running around. But in God's name, keep them because there's treasure there. We find a man. Wow. What treasure. Look at that bicep. Look at that. Boy, he's a dream boat. But he gets so heavy, he sinks the boat. After a while, you find he has a field. You find, as Mrs. Hiles found, that this treasure she has is stubborn. You find out that he has a field. He has weeds. A little garbage here and there. And before you know, you're looking at those weeds. Ladies and gentlemen, there's treasure in there. Ladies, there's treasure in there. And most of these men are godly men and faithful men and hardworking men. And they love you and deserve your love. In God's name, don't give up the treasure because you found it has a field. But you as a leader. Churches all across America do this. They choose a leader. Pastor comes in, takes over the church. And boy, that reception is wonderful. He is exactly what we've been looking for. He is a treasure. But you're going to find out after a while that he has a field. You're going to find out that your pastor is human. You're going to find out that sometimes, though he's trying to do what is right and just, he may do something that you feel like is unjust. He may do something with which you disagree. But bless God, if he believes that book right there, and he's after sinners, and he's living a decent kind of a life, and he's an honest man with integrity and character, don't you let that feel keep you from trusting that man. Look at the men in the Bible. Moses, a great treasure, but he had a field. He was hot-tempered. Noah, a great treasure, but he had a field. Paul was a great treasure, but he had a field. He took a Jewish vow one time, and he shouldn't have done so. Peter was a great treasure, the greatest Christian in all the world, and the leader of all the apostles, and later he became the Pope. But he was impetuous. Am I going to give up the Apostle Peter because he's impetuous when he has the power to get 3,000 people saved on Pentecost? Am I going to give up Noah because we find out that he's human in one instance when he had enough faith in God to build an ark to keep from drowning when there never had been a drop of rain fall on the face of the earth? Am I going to give up Moses, the meekest man that ever lived and the greatest leader that ever walked the face of the earth because every once in a while loses his temper? No, sir. Moses has a treasure, but he also has a field. And David has a treasure, but he also has a field. And Noah has a treasure, but he also has a field. And Jacob has a treasure, but he also has a field. And Samson has a treasure, but he also has a field. And John Mark has a treasure, but he also has a field. And James and John have a treasure, but they also have a field. And Dr. John Rice was a treasure, but he also had a field. And Charles Spurgeon was a treasure, but he also had a field. And Lee Robertson's a treasure, but he also has a field. And Tom Malone's a treasure, but he also has a field. But bless God, I traveled with John Rice 22 years. I know something about John Rice's field. I slept in the same room with him one night. Scared the fire out of me. Because I didn't want to stay up and pray all night long. And I knew that's what John Rice would do. So I took a nap that afternoon. So he could pray all night long. He crawls in bed. I'm in bed right next to him. Not in the same bed, but the bed next to him. I'm not next to him in the bed. I'm in the bed next to him. I get ready for all night prayer meeting. He pulls out a Zane Grey novel. didn't even read his Bible. I was over reading my Bible. I don't usually do it, but John Rice in the bed next to me. He pulls out a Zane Grey novel and reads that Zane Grey novel, fluffs his pillow, turns off a light, and goes to sleep. Found out he had a field. I was in Indianapolis preaching. Dr. Rice was there before I was. I found out he was in the restaurant, went in the restaurant. He was very quiet. I said, "Dr. Rice, what's wrong?" He said, "Ha, women are funny, aren't they?" I said, "Dr. Rice, are you and Ms. Rice having a little trouble?" Well, he said, "Not bad. Just a little tiff." Dr. John Rice, the greatest Christian I ever met, has a field. Billy Sunday had a field. Dwight L. Moody had a field. Now, are you going to spend your life trotting from church to church trying to find a treasure without a field, trotting from husband to husband trying to find a treasure without a field, trotting from wife to wife trying to find a treasure without a field, trotting from friend to friend trying to find a treasure without a field, calling pastor after pastor or going to preacher after preacher trying to find a preacher without a field? Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something. There is no treasure without the field. Teenagers, look at your parents. There's treasure there, but there's a field. You say, "Brother Hines, my mother got me one day, and she jerked me up like that and bent me over her knee and let me have it." I've wanted to do that for years. I understand. Your mother has a temper too, and so does your father. But your mother also entered the jaws of death to give you life. Your mother also keeps your house clean. Your mother also washes your clothes. Your mother also cooks your meals. You're there, and McDonald's does. Sure, your mother's not perfect, but bless God, young people, there's a treasure inside that mother. Your dad isn't perfect. Your dad may be stubborn, may lose his temper sometime. He may have a field. You may see a little mouse scurrying across his field sometime, or see some weeds growing in his field sometime. But your dad, he puts the bread on the table that you eat with his hard-earned sweat and blood or toil. He feeds you and clothes you and makes the house payment. In God's name, don't give up the treasure because you see a weed or two. A pupil looks at her teacher. Boy, she's hard-boiled. As I look back at my teachers now, the ones that I lack the least, I lack the most now. The ones that let us get by with anything, I lack then, don't lack them now. But you look at that teacher, there's treasure there. Oh, she's hard-boiled, there's treasure there. She gave me some demerits. No, she didn't. You earned some demerits, and she just wrote them down. There's treasure there. What a sad thing this we creatures are. We're not willing to take the negative to get the positive. We're like the fellow says, "I know there's treasure here, but I don't want to get any weeds. I don't want to see a lizard crossing my path. I don't want to get bit by a spider. So I'll go over here to, hear me carefully, I'll go to a field that maybe has fewer weeds, but no treasure." I've been your preacher for going on almost 38 years. I've seen your weeds. You've been to my office and displayed them. I've seen your lizards. And some of you have been skunks every once in a while. I've smelled the odor from your life. But as far as I'm concerned, you're the greatest people in all the world. As far as I'm concerned, I'm proud to be pastor of the greatest group of people that have ever, I think, ever attended a New Testament Baptist church. But I've got news for you. You've all got weeds. You all have fields. Now, I want to tell you something. You go to that person that you've fallen out with because you found the treasure has a field, and you make it right with them. You go to that person you've been criticizing. By the way, remember you used to like them? You never criticized somebody you didn't like enough to want to get closer to. and you got closer to them, and you saw their field, and you saw a mouse or two, and you saw a weed or two, and you saw some garbage somebody has thrown there, go to that person and let them tell them this: I believe your friendship is important to me. I want to make it right with you. I want to have our friendship restored. I realize Brother Howells is right when he said this morning, I want the treasure, and I'm willing to put up with the weeds. You go to that little wife this morning, the one you've been doing nothing but pointing out her mistakes. And you realize that there was a time when you saw a treasure in her. There was a time when you felt like she was the most precious thing on the face of the earth. And by the way, she's still the same woman you married. And you go home this morning and you look her in the eye and say, sweetheart, I'm sorry. I've been looking at the weeds in the field instead of seeking the treasure. You go home this morning, that husband with whom you become disenchanted, and you look at him and you say to him, I'm afraid I've been looking at the field instead of the treasure. Let me take just a few minutes and tell you about one that has no field. Let me tell you about one across whose path and whose life never ran a rat or a mouse. Let me tell you about one that never did know what it was to have a weed in his field. Let me tell you about one that every time you dig, you find treasure. And you'll never see a weed or poison ivy. You'll never see a raccoon or a possum or a skunk in the field. In fact, it's just treasure. And that one is my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. President of our college, when I went to college, East Texas Baptist, Dr. H.D. Bruce, in a restaurant near the college, a little lady waitress walked up, and Dr. Bruce said, ma'am, are you a Christian? She said, no, and I'm not going to be, because I've seen those Christians at East Texas Baptist College. Dr. Bruce said, ma'am, did I ask you to trust the Christians at East Texas Baptist College? I'm asking you to trust Jesus. Can you find anything wrong with him? Little waitress put down her little pad and her pen and pencil. She said, no. And if more of your people were like him, more of our people would become your people. I don't point you this morning, Brother Hiles. I don't point you to the Pope or the new bishop, archbishop in Chicago. I don't point you to a preacher, pope, rabbi, priest, evangelist, or an individual. We all have weeds. We all have fields. We all have negatives. We all have things that are not palatable. But I point you to him who's faultless and perfect, who is a lamb without blemish, that paid your debt for your sins on the cross of Calvary and offers you eternal life if you'll trust him as your Savior. In conclusion, you love those two words? That's the favorite part of my sermon, isn't it? In conclusion. Sometimes my conclusions last 45 minutes. But in conclusion, let me say this. Look at me and I'll be through. Don't give up the treasure of a church that you go to that's a good soul-winning church that believes the Bible. Don't give up the treasure because you got sort of in the church and found out that it has a field. Don't give up Howells Anderson College, the greatest college in all the world, because you get close enough to it to find out it has a field. Don't take your students out of Hammond Baptist School to young people and send them to a godless, heathen, pagan, satanic public school system because you find out we have a field. Don't disassociate yourself with some dear Christian friend because you got close enough to be able to see his field. There's treasure there. You pastors here this morning, don't become disenchanted with your people when you find out that they have a field. And don't become disenchanted with your husband when you find out he has a field. Or your wife when you find out she has a field. Or your teacher in school. By the way, don't become disenchanted with your pupils in school when you find out that they also have fields. Treasure. This fellow gets to digging and digging and digging. He gets stung by a spider. He jumps back from a mouse. He smells the odor of a skunk. He feels the rash of a nettle. But he keeps on digging. And keeps on digging.
And all of a sudden he finds the treasure in the field. And bless God, it was worth all of it because he found the treasure. This morning, let me say, in every human relationship, there is treasure, but there also is a field. That's up to you. Spend your life complaining because of the field or rejoicing because of the treasure. It's up to you. Would you bow your heads, please? Every eye is closed. No one is leaving. Everyone still. No one is leaving. Everyone is still. I'd like to talk to you this morning who become disenchanted with a friend. You only became disenchanted when you got closer to that friend. You'd stayed at a distance, you'd have only seen the treasure, but now you've gotten close enough where you see the field also. I'd like to ask you this morning, look at the treasure and accept the field. Look at the positive and accept the negative. There's no way to get the positive without it. No way to get the treasure without the field. The treasure is in the field.